genius.
The fully realized vision of an authentic American genius.
We need your brain.
Don't you have a brain in your head?
Ah, then I will have to adjust your brain a bit.
Every day, Billy the Brain talks with the best guests in America.
Cool.
About business.
The boss that works for you.
Entertainment. Sports.
Turning now to sports.
And the local community.
Radio keeps its eye on local events.
It's time for brainstorming.
My brain is like mush.
With Billy the Brain.
Sounds like fun. Let's go.
Now, here's your host, Billy the Brain.
Hi, this is Bill Frank, and you're listening to Brainstormin' with Billy the Brain. We're live every day, Monday through Friday at 10 o'clock here on KKZZ, Positive Talk Radio for Ventura and Santa Barbara counties. You can also hear us streaming over the internet at brainstorminonline.com. My goal is to bring you interviews with thought leaders in business, entertainment, sports, and the local community. Together, we'll listen to what these people say and relate it to how we live and work right here in Ventura County. Brainstorming with Billy the Brain is smart radio with sharp questions aimed at intelligent guests. It's talk radio done right for the 21st century. If you want to join in the conversation, you can call us at 639-0008, or if you're outside of the area code, it's area code 805-639-0008. Every show has a theme, but before we get to today's theme, I want to announce the results of this week's poll. I asked a simple multiple choice question. Who had a greater influence on U.S. history? Was it Martin Luther King or Cesar Chavez? By an overwhelming majority, 92% to 8, voters said that it was Martin Luther King. Of course, that poll might be just a little bit biased since we ran it during the week of Martin Luther King's birthday, but the results were resounding 92% to 8, Martin Luther King over Cesar Chavez. There'll be another poll goes up on the website tonight, so look for that, and I'll announce it all the winners on next Thursday's show. As I said, every show has a theme, and today's theme is unintended consequences. Each of my guests will discuss unintended results of their particular subject. My first guest is the editorial director of the Sunlight Foundation, a nonprofit covering influence in politics. We'll discuss the impact of super PACs on American politics. My second guest is a law professor, a public interest lawyer, and a mystery novelist. We'll discuss how individuals' rights are being violated by social networks and the web, and the need for a constitution for the internet from her book, I Know Who You Are, I Saw What You Did. My third guest is the leader of Strategic Power, a marketing consultancy. We'll discuss how to triple or quadruple profit using the 80-20 rule from her book, Top Marketing Strategy. And if you want to ask a question or join in the conversation, you can call us at 639-0008. Bill Allison is the editorial director for the Sunlight Foundation. He's a veteran investigative journalist and an editor for nonprofit media. Bill worked for the Center for Public Integrity for 9 years, where he co-authored The Cheating of America with Charles Lewis. He was a senior editor of The Buying of the President in 2000 and co-editor of the New York Times bestselling The Buying of the President 2004. He edited projects on topics ranging from the role of international arms smugglers and private military companies in failing states around the world to the rise of Section 527 organizations in American politics. Prior to that, Bill worked for 8 years for the Philadelphia Inquirer, the last 2 years as a researcher for Pulitzer Prize-winning reporters Donald Bartlett and James Steele. Joining us from Washington, D.C. Hi, Bill. How are you doing today?
Just fine. How are you?
Terrific. And thank you so much for being my special guest here on Brainstorming with Billy the Brain.
Thank you for having me on. I really appreciate it.
Very important anniversary is coming up on this Saturday. It's the second anniversary of what is known as Citizens United versus the FEC ruling. And that is going to have and is having a dramatic impact on the presidential campaign. For those who don't know what the ruling is, in January 2010, the U.S. Supreme Court ruled that government limits on campaign spending by corporations and by unions was a violation of free speech rights under the First Amendment. The ruling was a narrow 5-4 ruling. So, Bill, what are the implications and what are the impacts of this ruling that we're seeing in the 2012 election today?
Well, I think that what we're seeing is, and you know, to put a really not too fine of a point on it, there's a real wild, wild west in campaign finance that we just haven't seen for years. And the Citizens United ruling was about a nonprofit group called Citizens United that wanted to run a film in the 2008 primaries attacking Hillary Clinton and telling people not to vote for her, basically. It was a lengthy documentary that really kind of went into the fever swamps of a lot of the speculation about things like Mena Airport and Vince Foster's death and all kinds of other things. And the FEC said they couldn't run it because it would be a corporate contribution or a corporate express advocacy, basically telling somebody to vote for somebody. The court ruled that that is actually protected speech and that corporations do have First Amendment rights. And because it's not being contributed to a specific candidate, it's just a corporation expressing its point of view, it has to be protected under the First Amendment. So that's kind of what Citizens United was. And since that, it's kind of metastasized through a group of different rulings from lower courts, FEC regulations and whatnot, to where we have these super PACs that can take in, they can coordinate fundraising with candidates, they can take in, you know, $1 million, $5 million contributions, and they can run ads and attack opponents, and candidates get to keep their hands clean. That it's, you know, as we've seen during the Republican debates, it's not my super PAC that's doing this. And we have the rise of these organizations that are almost sort of shadow campaigns and shadow political parties.
Without a doubt. And the effect has been pretty profound, Bill. If you take a look at the primaries so far, we've only had three, and they've all been in little states, Iowa, New Hampshire, and now South Carolina. The number is a staggering $24 million being spent in these three tiny little states. And what I find interesting is this money is being spent to chase fewer and fewer voters. If you look at the number of Republicans that went to vote in Iowa in 2012 versus the number of voters that voted in 2008, the number was virtually identical. There was very insignificant, statistically insignificant growth in the number. So the law of supply and demand certainly are in effect here. That means that it costs more to woo each potential voter. And so how can this system sustain itself? If we have a pretty finite and constant pool of voters and it's costing us more and more to woo them, how can this system sustain itself, Bill?
You know, one other wrinkle in this, you know, the Associated Press did a look at voting in New Hampshire and correlated it with a bunch of different factors, including party registration and different kind of vote preferences and things like that. And the only thing that really there was a correlation was the amount of spending by a super PAC in that media market and how candidates or how voters voted. So they really are having a huge impact. I think that one of the things that you know, we're seeing is that, and it's something that we haven't seen before really, is that, you know, you can stand up these committees really quickly and impact voters through, you know, this late minute spend or, you know, last minute spending. And, you know, I think it really does have an impact on how people are voting. And again, you know, the increased amounts of money being spent per voter, I mean, I think that that's, you know, that's in some ways that's not what concerns, you know, me as much. I mean, I think there's a lack of transparency around these organizations as to who's giving that money. And but the other thing is that, you know, what are the people who are giving this money going to get out of it? But, you know, but to get to the point of the voters, I mean, it really is having an impact. And, you know, there's that AP, again, it's just a correlation. You can't prove causation. But my sense is that groups would not be spending all of this money if it weren't having an impact. And it certainly seems to be having one.
Well, it does. My guest is Bill Allison. He's the editorial director for the Sunlight Foundation. We're talking about super PACs. Now, Bill, one of the more interesting satiric ways that this is being kept in the public eye is through comedian Stephen Colbert. He's bringing it to national attention, this whole idea of super PACs, because he himself started a super PAC. He now calls it the definitively not coordinating with Stephen Colbert super PAC. But in reality, he went through the whole process of what it's like to set up a super PAC. He went down to Capitol Hill to defend his super PAC in front of a congressional hearing, which he eventually won. He raises money on television by pitching it on his television show. And he even scrolls the names of the donors down at the bottom of a screen during the course of his show for people who did a donate. Now, he tried unsuccessfully just recently to get on the ballot in South Carolina for the South Carolina primary, mainly because he's a native son of South Carolina. But the point is that Colbert's super PAC really is showing the, through this parody, what the super PACs go through. And I'm not sure how to take it. What is your take on Stephen Colbert's whole process of the definitively not coordinating with Stephen Colbert super PAC?
Well, you know, in some ways, I mean, I think that that's kind of the funniest piece of it yet, because one of the things about these super PACs is that they're supposed to be independent of the candidates. They file letters of the FEC saying that they will not make contributions to candidates, that they're independent. But if you look at Restore Our Future, it's run by three folks who all have connections to the 2008 Romney campaign. If you look at the Winning Our Future Super PAC, which is Newt Gingrich, which is supporting Newt Gingrich, it's run by a pair of former aides for Gingrich. Just about all of the major super PACs have connections to either the candidates or the political parties. If you look at American Crossroads, they're all former RNC, Republican National Committee, and other Republican organizations are running that group. So these are folks who, you know, they don't necessarily have to pick up the phone and talk to a candidate to know how to coordinate with them. And, you know, and I think that, you know, the very openness of Colbert and handing it over to Jon Stewart, which is a hilarious piece of video, is in some ways, you know, the sad thing is that, you know, you almost see the same kind of, obviously not with humorous intent, but, you know, right after Iowa, Newt Gingrich was talking about how the completely independent Winning Our Future campaign, or Super PAC rather, was going to start attacking Mitt Romney's record, or Gingrich was going to do this, and that Super PAC came out with the 27-minute film, The King of Bane. So, you know, I think with Colbert, the trick is to keep ahead of the outrageousness of what these Super PACs are doing, and he's obviously clever enough to do that.
Life really is more funny than art itself. My guest is Bill Allison. He is the editorial director of the Sunlight Foundation. So, Bill, talk to us a little bit more specifics. How are Super PACs spending to support or to knock presidential candidates in this 2012 election so far?
Well, you know, what we're seeing a lot of is, you know, television ads obviously are critical. They're using the internet as well. We see radio ads. We see, you know, phone calls. And they're also doing kind of get out the vote stuff. But, you know, I think some of the classic examples of this is when Newt Gingrich was cresting in the polls in Iowa and he had his first kind of boomlet as the not Romney candidate. Restore Our Future came out with all kinds of negative ads about Gingrich's history and his and, you know, Gingrich's flip-flops and some of the, you know, different kinds of things that Gingrich had done, and also, you know, questions they have rolled out former colleagues of his from the House who would talk about his lack of leadership and, you know, and that he was, and basically that led to, I mean, that's when Newt started to, the balloon started to deflate and his numbers started going down. We've seen, at the same time, at the tail end of Iowa, we saw a group called the Red, White, and Blue, Red, White, and Blue America, which supported Rick Santorum, come out, and they spent about, you know, $700,000 in the last couple of days of the campaign getting his name out and kind of pumping him up as the not Romney candidate, which in some ways helps Romney's. I think that Santorum is a weaker candidate than Gingrich in many ways. He doesn't have the fundraising abilities that Gingrich does, and he doesn't have the national name recognition that Gingrich has. So I think that what these groups have done, though, is that, again, they've acted as somewhat surrogate campaigns. They're able to go negative, and the candidates are allowed to remain somewhat more positive. And there's always this plausible divine ability when you have somebody like a Romney or a Gingrich saying, "Well, I can't tell them what to do," and yet, you know, these are the organizations that, and sometimes, you know, when push comes to shove, are spending more than the campaigns on media and getting the message out than the candidates are themselves.
Well, it begs the bigger question. My guest is Bill Allison. So, Bill, how are these super PACs really impacting and really upending how campaigns are run, how money is raised, and how you plan strategy when you're running for president in the United States? What is this showing us?
I think what it's showing us is that, you know, that the rules of the game have somewhat changed, and it's almost like for every candidate now, you have access to this separate organization that can raise money in a hurry and can, and in some ways it reduces the fundraising burdens on candidates, although they're still taking in as much money as they can from the traditional sources and the $2,500 contributions. But they have this, you know, new weapon in their arsenal. And, you know, at the congressional level, you see, the challengers relying heavily on groups like the House Majority PAC, which is a Democratic super PAC, or American Crossroads, which supports Republicans, of course. And again, you've got these shadow parties that, which is where the big money is going, which is where the big donors are going. And I think that, you know, what we're going to have is somewhat less accountability in the sense that, you know, you don't always know who's behind these groups. You know, the names are all anodyne and, you know, Restore Our Future and so on and so forth. And it makes it much harder for the public to know where a message is coming from. and it makes it much easier for the candidates to, to go negative. I mean, if you look back, you know, this is not unprecedented. I mean, we had in 1988 the Willie Horton ads. We had in 2004 the Swift Boat Vet ads. There have always been outside groups and some with very close ties to campaigns. What we have now, though, is a system that really kind of normalizes it, sets rules that allows candidates to work with these committees to raise money for them, and it's made it much more, in some ways, almost respectable for candidates to do this.
All right, my guest is Bill Allison. He's the editorial director at the Sunlight Foundation. So, Bill, this is on the national presidential level. Let's bring it down to more local level, because we're going to have congressional and Senate elections going on here in just a few months coming up. How is this going to play out at some of the smaller levels for Congress and people running for the Senate?
I mean, I think what you're going to see is in places where you have close elections or contested elections, and, you know, because of California redistricting, a lot more elections are going to be competitive this time around. And we've had things like, Howard Berman, Sherman, you know, you have two members of Congress who are now in the same district. I think there's already three super PACs that have been set up to try to help Howard Berman. You have kind of national groups that are also going to be dropping in, like the House Majority PAC, the Majority PAC, American Crossroads, Americans for Prosperity, that will be spending money. And I think that anywhere they can find a candidate with a chance to win, they're going to pump an awful lot of money in. And the definition of chance to win in 2010 really changed. I mean, you know, and challengers with very little name recognition and very little money in the bank. And normally when political pros look at a candidate with a chance to win, they're thinking in terms of somebody with money in the bank and some name recognition and, you know, within, five points of the incumbent, and an incumbent with relatively high negatives in a district that's favorable. And there's all kinds of different things that go into it. That definition became a lot more elastic after 2010. So you're going to see a lot more money coming in, and, you know, I describe it as you won't be able to turn on the TV, even SpongeBob SquarePants, without seeing a political ad.
All right. My guest is Bill Allison. He's the editorial director at the Sunlight Foundation. Bill, this is a fascinating subject, and you are definitely an authority on this. If people want to learn more about you, learn more about super PACs, learn more about the Sunlight Foundation, where would you direct them to go on the Internet?
Sunlightfoundation.com. That's our website, and it's got links to everything that we do, including a whole section on super PACs and a whole section on a site called Influence Explorer. It has a tremendous amount of information on campaign finance, but you can get it all at sunlightfoundation.com.
That is great. Bill, it has been a delight. Thank you so much for being my special guest here on Brainstorming with Billy the Brain. We'll talk to you down the road.
Okay, thank you so much for having me on.
Thank you.